Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. If you've been a child of God for any period of time, you've had any kind of prayer life along that time, and you know that you can get on your knees or lay in your bed or drive down the street and have a little talk with Jesus. And you know, the thing of it is, sometimes, even after the talk, nothing has changed. But it's all right. And that's the beautiful thing. That's one of the great privileges that we have as Christians, and we're thankful for that. Thank Brother Ford for the beautiful way in which you led the singing tonight, and so thankful for the wonderful way in which all of you have participated in the song service as well. We thank God for, again, the privilege that we have to come together again and worship Him in spirit and in truth. It truly is a privilege that we have to come together again and worship Him, and we're thankful for this opportunity. For any of you that are visiting with us, we're very grateful for your presence, and we hope and pray that you will be encouraged by those things that you experience here at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. It's been a wonderful day of worship. We're thankful for the lesson that Brother Myers shared with us this morning, and always thankful to him and his work. It's good to see Brother and Sister Bradshaw back tonight. They were over at Cedar Valley this morning. I know they were blessed by his presence and the word that was shared. And we want to continue to keep Brother Gibbs in our prayers as, as he is in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And just praying that the work and those things that have taken place there have been a source of encouragement to the members of the body there as well. I want to direct you again to the text that was read in your hearing from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21. And again, looking at verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away.'" In keeping with our theme of this quarter, faith, the victorious harvest, I want to use somewhat of a sub-theme tonight based on the text here in Revelation chapter 21. And I want to call it heaven, the victorious destination. Heaven, the victorious destination. I know that there may have already been a couple of lessons rendered already about heaven in this quarter, but I think that's okay. Amen. We can't say enough about heaven. I want you to consider these facts about heaven as it relates to the scripture. Heaven is one of the hallmarks of our Christian faith and theology. The doctrine of heaven, or the teaching of heaven, is predominantly found within the scripture. In the New Testament alone, the word heaven appears some 261 times in 20 different New Testament books. Matthew quoted the word heaven 70 times from the works or the words of Jesus. John uses the word heaven 83 times in his writings. There are several other passages which don't mention the word heaven specifically, but it occurs in many other places throughout the Bible and throughout the New Testament, just utilizing different terminology. And while hell will be a destination of defeat, heaven is going to be a destination of victory. Throughout the history of mankind, I find it interesting to note that man has sought to achieve victory over certain challenges by changing their destination. When I look back and look at the children of Israel, God heard the cries of the children of Israel as they were in Egyptian bondage. And he made plans to free them from bondage and move them from Egypt into a land which he promised them, the land of Canaan. When I think about history, even in this country, in the founding of this country, America, the forefathers in seeking victory over religious and financial restrictions, they established this country to be able to have victory over the things that were holding them back religiously and financially. During the hard times in the Old South, many African Americans participated in what was called the Great Migration, in which they moved from places like Mississippi and Georgia and Alabama and moved up north to places like Chicago and Detroit and other places to avoid or be able to be victorious over racial oppression. Man has always looked for another place or another locale in order to overcome some of the things that they are dealing with and to have victory over different trials of this life. Heaven, I'm here to tell you tonight, is the ultimate destination of victory. When you think about our lives on this earth, we have some victories. It's a victory when we're just able to get past one day after another. It's a victory when you're able to get through that struggle or that trial that you might have at work. It's a victory when you're able to go through some trials at home or maybe in your marriage and you're able to work it out. It's a victory when you finally get all those kids out of the house after you've struggled to provide for them and do for them. It's a victory in so many cases and so many things that we're called upon to do. But I'm here to tell you, those are not to compare to the victory that we anticipate when we all go to heaven. And I'm here to tell you that the church, every child of God, needs to anticipate heaven. When I say I hope to go to heaven, I'm saying I anticipate going to heaven. Eternity is too long to live my life with a big question mark over my head. I need to be assured. And when we look at the Word of God, it gives us the assurance that we have the hope or the anticipation of heaven. And when I think about this idea of moving to achieve victory, I find that also in the life of Abraham. When you look at Abraham over in Hebrews chapter 11, turn with me if you would, Hebrews chapter 11, and looking at verse number 8 through verse number 10. And I'm not going to be long tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, and looking at verse number 8 through verse number 10. The Bible says that by faith, well, let me just go back to verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, the Bible said he obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. But then it says in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And look at what it says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What are you looking for, Abraham? I'm looking for a place that's going to have the ultimate victory. I'm looking for a place that has foundations. I'm looking for a place whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was a sojourner in the land of promise. A sojourner means he was a nomad. He went around and he lived in tents. He knew even though this was a land that was promised to him, even though this was a land that God had promised to give to the children of Israel, even though it was a land that flowed with milk and honey, even though it was a land that God had prepared for them, even though it had everything they could imagine, in the midst of this land, Abraham was still looking for a city. I'm still looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. All the time that Abraham was in Canaan, even though it was a promised land, he's still looking. You know, the same should hold true for us. We should be seeking another city or another dwelling place. You see, when you think about this fact that I am a tabernacle, I'm just a tent, this is not a permanent dwelling place. This tent, one day, is not going to be fit for dwelling anymore. This tent, one day, is not going to be able to do and house me the way it once did. This tent, even though I try to repair it, even though I try to take care of it, even though when the hair gets gray, I try to dye it. Even though when I gain weight, I try to exercise, I try to eat right and try to do things to protect this tent. But the fact remains that this tent is one day not going to be fit for dwelling. And just like Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God, as we dwell in this land, as we dwell in this world that we live in, we've got to realize that every day I'm looking for another place to dwell. I'm anticipating another place to dwell. You know, we used to sing that song. We don't sing it so much anymore. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Someone said that life, we ought to look at life and living on this world as simply a bridge that we're using to pass over on the other side. You don't build a house on a bridge. You don't stop and take residence on a bridge. You keep on crossing the bridge. And as we're on this life, we recognize that there is no permanent place of dwelling in this world. This world is not my home. Paul stated it this way. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20 and verse number 21, he said, our citizenship is in heaven. I'm just an alien here. I'm just passing through. But my citizenship is in heaven. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. He said, don't lay up your treasures in this world. He said, lay up your treasures in heaven. Why? Because I'm just passing through. My permanent dwelling is not here. I'm going to another place. That's why I don't get wrapped up. That's why I don't get overcome. That's why I don't get burdened down by the cares and the worries of this world, because I'm just passing through. John said it this way in John chapter 14, verse number 3, the words of Jesus. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you so. He said, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This world is not my home. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 20. He made the statement. He said, rejoice. He said, for your name is written in heaven. You may have 300 Facebook friends. You have folks on Twitter and all sorts of other social media, and there may be some other places that your name is written, but I'm here to ask you, is your name written in heaven? I could care less about places where my name is written on this earth. Matter of fact, I wish some of my places they erased my name. But I want to make sure that my name is written in heaven. Abraham understood this. You see, again, Abraham looked for a city that is going to be possessed by the redeemed, the spiritual seed of Abraham. It's an eternal city. That's when you talk about the fact I'm looking for a city which has foundations, that is indicative of the fact that it's an eternal city. You know, when I look back in history, there are a lot of great cities that once were. They were known for their architecture. Some of them were known for their financial prowess, and some of them were known for their intellectual capabilities and contributions to mankind. But many of those cities are no more. But I want a city that has foundations. A city that I can look at and know that it's going to be a fit dwelling place for my soul one day. The eternal city that cometh down from God out of heaven, also called the heavenly Jerusalem. It's a fitting place. It's a fitting place because the builder and maker is God. You know, when I think about the city, John talks about some of the characteristics of that city. If you look in Revelation chapter 21 and looking down to verse number 17, he says, and he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And then he goes on to say in verse number 18, and the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, whatever that is, the fourth, an emerald. And you know what? When I read this, and maybe you don't feel the same way, But I'm not so excited about some of the things that will be in the city. I'm not so excited about gold. I'm not so excited about jasper. I've seen a little bit of gold. I don't have much, but I've seen it. I've seen some jasper. I've seen some onyx. I've seen some other emeralds. I'm not so excited about those physical things that will possibly be there. And I don't even know if we even take these things literally. Some even believe that the descriptions of gold and jasper and other descriptions are just descriptions to help us to kind of have an idea of what it's going to be like. But if those things are there and those things are part of the construction of heaven, I'm not so excited about those things. What I'm excited about is what's not going to be there. I'm excited. I'm excited when we look back to Revelation chapter 21 and look back to verse number 4. God, when he creates this city, when he makes this city and he comes around with the dimensions and the specifications of this city, one of these things that's not going to be included in this city. The Bible said that he's going to wipe away all the tears from their eyes. I've never seen a time when people didn't have to shed tears. But I look forward to a time when a part of a city where there won't ever be a need to shed tears anymore. Then I am looking forward to a time when there won't even be a time where you have to think about death. It seemed like the last few days I've been thinking about my father quite a bit and I miss him, but I'm looking forward to a time where you don't have to feel the sting of death. You don't have to feel the loss of losing a loved one. You don't have to worry even about your own time of leaving this earth. I'm looking forward to a time when there's no more death. Then it says he's going to do away with pain. I'm looking forward to a time when there won't be any physical pain or any emotional pain or any pain of separation or any pain for any reason whatsoever, because it's not going to be allowed in this city. I'm looking forward to that day. A city where God is going to dry away all the tears. A city where God is going to take away all pain. A city where death will no longer exist. And I believe that heaven is that victorious destination for the believer. And when we think about this city, the Christian must develop a deeper view and appreciation of heaven as we grow in our Christian walk. I submit to all of us that as the years pass, the world and all of its allures should be continually diminishing in our eyes. And we should all be experiencing a greater and fuller appreciation of what heaven is all about, an ever-growing desire, an ever-growing anticipation, an ever-growing hope of the reality of heaven. See, heaven is real. Heaven is just as real as Christ is real. When I think about heaven, in heaven, Jesus was from the beginning. From heaven, he came. Of heaven, he spoke. To heaven, he pointed the way. From heaven, angels announced his birth. From heaven, angels ministered to him at Gethsemane and in the wilderness. From heaven, angels came to announce his resurrection. From heaven, the voice of God declared him to be the Son of God. From heaven, the angels came to escort him to glory. To heaven, he ascended. From heaven, angels will announce his second coming. In heaven,
He sits on the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. He reigns until all the enemies are put under his footstool in heaven. He intercedes for all Christians from heaven. He will come again to reign and to raise the dead and to summon all who have ever lived to the judgment seat of God. I don't want to miss heaven. Heaven is my destination. Heaven is my hope. Heaven is my home. It is the victorious destination. I may have some bumps and bruises getting through the day, but that's all right. I still got heaven in front of me. I may have some things that I fail at and maybe disappoint in this life, but that's all right. I still got heaven in front of me. I may even have a time in which this body is stricken with illness or a disease or something that robs me of the quality of life that I once had. That's all right. I still got heaven in front of me. It's the victorious destination. Let's continue to look toward heaven. Don't let anything turn you around. Don't let anything discourage you. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let this world pull you into its grips. Let's continue to look toward heaven and know that one day, when the time on this earth is over, God will be able to call us home. And whoa, in spite of all the things that I may have experienced, you know, I will forget it when I hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up. I'm going to make you ruler over many." And you know what? That's just going to be enough. That's going to be enough. Amen. Are you ready for heaven? If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you need to get ready for heaven. Hear the word of God, believe the same, repent of your sins. Confess the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go down to the watery grave of baptism. Come up a new creature in Christ. See, when we read in Revelation chapter 21, he said he's coming. That it's going to be like a bride that comes down out of heaven. And I'm here to tell you that bride is the church. Amen. If you're not in the church, you're not a part of that bride. He's not just coming for anybody. Amen. When it comes, amen, he's looking for his bride. And I want to be a part of the church, his bride. He died for his bride. He gave all that he had for his bride. He's coming to save his bride. You know, a lot of folk believe, well, I could just live and be a good person. You're good by yourself is not enough. I got to be within the body of Christ. Here tonight, you are a member of the church, and maybe you've not lived your life in a way that's pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. Don't let this world pull you away from your first love. Don't allow yourself to drift out there too long. Hell is too hot, and heaven is too real for us to play around with our souls. Amen. Don't mess around with eternity. If there's something that's not right or amiss in your life, make it right tonight. Let the church pray for you. And let's all get back to where we need to be, looking and anticipating and expecting heaven. If you're here tonight and you have a need, we ask you to please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Jesus rose with all power in his hand. Jesus rose with all power in his hand.